that in greater clarity to our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Well, we're in Ephesians 4 and verse 7.
Four
and verse 7, we're clipping along.
We've missed the whole class.
Well, I've been moving along a little bit faster than I have in the past. There has been tremendous stuff in the book of Ephesians. I'll get all the CDs to you, too, Brother Eric. I've got some of them tonight, the ones that you're missing and everything. 4 and verse 7. From the website, I'm learning things. I'm learning. Because I'm learning what people like and what they're interested in. And they're interested in these classes. So I'm going to try to get more and more of them up. I might even teach one of these classes on Sunday night if I can muster the energy. Well, I used to teach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Brother Bill came to my classes for years. And, well, Terry did too, I think. And Brother Eric, you came to him. And, well, a lot of my students are. My mother, she comes on Wednesday night. I don't know if he ever came on Sunday night or not. Maybe he did. Anyway, 4 and verse 7. Henim, they, hikosto, himo, idote, and then we have hey in brackets. It's not really there, but it's understood. That's what you call a practical a substantive. We're going to put it in there anyway, because it's understood. Hey, karis, kara, to, metron, tais, dorias, tu, risu. Now, this cross references to 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, and if you want, it'll go all the way through 7 and 11, and then Romans 12, 3 through 6, and Ephesians 3 and 2. It says, and or moreover, that word day there, see that? That's what actually starts the sentence. Now, hina is in the front of it, but day is the weak adversity conjunction that actually starts off this sentence. It can be but, it can be moreover, or look at this, or now then. That's what how this thing can be translated. If you want to write them down, you can. Okay? And to one, each. And you can draw a little loop from hina to hikosto, because that's describing to one each, to each and every one. God gives grace to each and every one of us. He doesn't leave anybody out. Everybody has a place of service in God's economy, in His churches. Everyone has a place of service. There is something you can do. Everyone. And then it says, of us, each one of us. Paul is including himself. All right? He must. That's a genitive plural. First person plural pronoun, all right, of us, each one of us, and then you can put this here, you know, in the verbs we have first, second, third person, singular and plural, and then you have an infinitive. Well, this here is third person singular, but it can be translated he or she or even a child has something they can do in God's churches. I've had little kids come up to me and say, what can I do? How can I want to serve the Lord? What can I do? I'll have them open the door for old codgers. Help people to their classrooms or something. There's things that even young people can do. He or she was given. This comes from Didymi, by the way. Didymi. He or she was given. And then the grace. Or you can put down literally, it is grace, charis. But it's understood with a the in front of it. Okay? The is understood. Now, are there any indefinite articles in Greek? And what is an indefinite article? We've got one teacher here. An indefinite article. You know what? Brother Ken Blinn was going out there to Cal State, and he started asking some of his English teachers and things that I teach in this classroom, they didn't know what he was talking about.
That doesn't surprise me.
And these were PhDs and everything. A definite article is the, okay? Put down this. And as you look underneath all of my little things that you have here. See that word hay there? That's a definite article. Toe is a definite article. All right. Hay. Now, in Greek, even the articles are the definite articles. Ho, aristokon, arthron is the Greek way to say that. The definite article is ho, aristokon, arthron. The definite article. That's what it says. Now, this is the definite article. And that is a pointer. It is an arrow. All right? It points at something. All right? Got an Indian behind it, too, so always remember that little bit. It's an arrow pointing to something. The is a definite article. A or an is an indefinite article. There are no indefinite articles in Greek. So John 1 and 1, where they try to say that the word was a God, is absolutely a lie. Okay? You want to remember that. A and N is an indefinite article. The is a definite article. There aren't any indefinite articles in Greek. No such animal. All right, given to each one of us, he or she is given grace according to the measure, all right, according to a share or a portion. That's what the word petron means there, a share or a portion. Each and every one of us have a share or a portion, a measure of grace that we can use in God's churches. Every one of us. And then it says, hey, dorios, of the gift, to Christou. To is a genitive singular masculine. How many of you listened to Brother Ken when he was trying to tell you about the five cases that they're teaching back in the seminary because they don't know what the eight of them are? All right? It's nominative, genitive, oblative, or nominative, genitive, oblative, locative, instrumental, dative, and accusative, and vocative. There's eight cases, okay? Nominative case is a case of the subject, genitive case is a case of possession, and oblative case is a case of origin. Now, here we have genitive, and it is definitely in the genitive case. Now, you could say it's oblative. Let's look at it also, genitive and oblative. Genitive case, case of possession. Where does the gift come from? God. Okay, who does it belong to? God. It belongs to him and he gives it to somebody because it's his to give, isn't it? All right? So it actually, sometimes you can be a genitive and oblative also. It is a case of possession. It's God's. But he gives it to you. All right?
So what is the oblative case?
Oblative, that's from where it comes from whence. The whence case, if you want to put it down there. The case of origin. Just write down the whence case, from where it comes from. The case of origin. The gift comes from God. The gift was God, the awful. It's genitive case. He possessed it. And it's oblative. It comes from him to us. Okay? So you can use it in both. You could put it in both cases there. One, of God. Two are two Christou, and then put two Christou again, if you wanted to. But the Greek saved paper and writing. It's from both. But you can. There are eight cases, like the locative, instrumental, and dative. Locative case is like in a bottle. All right? Dative case, you threw a rock at the bottle and hit the bottle, or on the outside of the bottle, up to the bottle. Okay? And then instrumental. You use the bottle to hit the rock. Instrumental. Okay? Now we have locative, instrumental, and dative. That's what you call the lib cases. When they only study five cases, they lump all of them into one case. But there's a place for every one of them. Okay? And then there's accusative. That's what we call in English the direct object. Or we call it the objective case. Okay? You have to, I understand my English by Greek. I have to thank Greek before I can understand the English. Greek or the English just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. We have the objective in English. That's where somebody receives something that they're being acted upon, okay? Somebody hit them on the head or whatever. That's the object. The in Hebrew, there is a sign of the direct object. Barashi bara Elohim eth hashimayim, it says. Eth. That's eth. All right? It's kind of like this. Or eth. Okay? Now in Greek, the sign of the direct object is that one. Ace. All right? It's almost the equivalent of the Hebrew. So you got a little Hebrew and a little Greek tonight both, okay? We're going to see that in here because we've got one right here in this verse that we're going to right now. Deo. Legay. Anabas. What's that word? It's in capital, so it kind of throws you a curve. Ace. All right. It's in capital. Why, Brother David? Why is it capitalized?
To show...
It was quoted. It's a quotation. All right? It's a quotation from the Old Testament. All right? A quotation from Psalm 68 and verse 18, actually. Ace. All right? Upsoe? Hipsoe, that is. Hipsos. All right. I'll get it right in a minute. Hipsos. And then we have exmaloterson. I know this is hard for you because you're not used to reading capitals. All right? And then iskmalosion. Kai. Edokin. See, that one you're familiar with. Tomaka. Tois. Anthropois. Now, that's pretty hard because you're not used to reading the Greek capitals. All right? You know what? When I started reading Greek, I only found a Bible that had all capitals in it. It helped me because it didn't even separate the words. I'll show it to you one of these days. How I learned how to read Greek is I went down through that whole New Testament from Genesis to Revelation, and I separated every word in it. And so when I went to the Middle East, I could go over there and I could read all those ancient monuments. Because they aren't separated either. They're just all run together and all capitals. So I started out real hard trying to study Greek with it. That's the only manuscript, that's the only text Bible I could find was this one. With all capitals. All uncials. And all run together with no separation of words. Nothing. You just had to know enough Greek to know where to separate the words. I'll show that to you. I'll bring that to you. It's just like this. It would be just like that. In beginning kept on being the Word and with no separation at all. So I went like this, and I went like this, and I went like that, and I went like that, and I went like that. All the way through the whole Bible. And I'll guarantee you, if you do that long enough, you'll figure out how to read it. If that's the only text you have. I couldn't get another one. I didn't have any way to get another Bible. So all I found, ran on to this one and I got it. It wasn't in a linear, so it did help me a little bit. All right. Wherefore, or because of this, he says, now this is the Messianic Song of Victory from Psalm 68 and verse 18. Does anyone have an Old Testament? An Old Testament? Do you have an Old Testament there, brother? Go to Psalm 68, verse 18, would you? Psalm 68 there. What kind of translation do you have there, brother?
New American Standard.
All right, that's a good one.
68:18?
Yeah.
Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captive thy captives.
Mm-hmm.
Thou hast received gifts among men, even among the rebellious also, that the Lord God may dwell there.
That's a beautiful verse.
Now,
it says, having, in Greek here, it shows you the action that you do not get in English. All right? Wherefore, because of this, or therefore, he says, and then he quotes the Old Testament, Psalm 68, verse 18, having ascended, all right, having ascended into the heights, in other words, having gone up to heaven, all right, he led captivity. Now, this word having ascended there is second aorist participle. Nominative singular masculine. It comes from ana and bino. It means to go up and to lead up. Literally, to lead up, if you want to say that.
Why is the whole word capitalized here?
Because it's a quotation.
It's also a compound word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a compound word, but it's a quotation from the Old Testament.
So all quotations go
from. Now, this, I guess if you were writing in Greek back at that time and you were writing all uncials or all capitals like this here, the only way that you could have done this, because it would have been all capitalized, is to write it with a different color ink. It would be written like a red letter. So this would be in red letters, okay? Like you have the red letter edition today. This would be in red letters. This is a quotation from the Old Testament, all right? Now, this is the hard part. It's easy to read, but it is hard to hear because you're not used to the all capitals.
So when there's a quote, it's not just the first letter of the word that's capitalized, it's the whole
thing. Oh, the whole thing. That's in Greek.
Okay.
All right, that's right. In Greek, okay?
Yeah, my translation here has that whole quote capitalized also.
Oh, it has it all capitalized in the New Testament.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's good because it's a quotation from the Old Testament. And they looked at the Old Testament as the breathing, living Word of God. That's why they accepted the Old Testament as the Bible. We're going to find out a little bit later tonight that it was God's revealed, it was God's inerrant Word. All of the Hebrews, even though they rejected the Messiah, they worshiped the Word of God. Now, there's the problem. Mankind always wants to worship something, doesn't he? He does. Whether it's his work or whatever. Things. He wants to worship something. Alright? Well, Israel, God had a lot of trouble with Israel. Remember, Abraham didn't trust God and he went down into Egypt. And he sold his wife to Pharaoh, the woman that was going to have the promised son. He sold that wife to Pharaoh. Well, Pharaoh, God related to him in some way. He plagued his household. He related to him in some way that this was the wrong thing to do, that this was Abraham's wife, not his sister. So he cast him out of the land. Well, as soon as they got out of Egypt, what did he do again to Abimelech? He sold her again. Brother Bill, I mean, this is the father of the faithful. This is Abraham now. This is the best man that ever lived. Remember that, Joanne? The best. This was the best, and he sold his wife twice in a row. Got in trouble again. Then the next one say, you ungodly prophet of God, ungodly buzzard, get out of my land. Get out of here and take everything with you. Get out of here. Don't you leave one sheep behind. Get out of my land. Well, because of that, you remember I told you that the sins of the fathers go on to the sons for seven generations? That's just the way it is. I guarantee if you sin a little, your children are going to sin a lot. That's it, I'm telling you. If you fall just a little bit, they'll fall a lot. That's just the way it is. It always is compounded in your life. You'll see it. And it's there. You have to do the absolute best you can to raise your children, give them everything that you can give them. And I don't mean things. I mean of your life, of your time. Love is spelled T-I-M-E, not L-O-V-E. It's not I love you. It is come and I'll help you with your homework. I will take you to school. I will stay up with you at night when you're sick. I will be there today, tomorrow, and as long as I live. Whenever you need me. That spells love. time thus. That's love. That's how you do it.
How about go to the field with me?
Yeah, go to the field with me. Now, we'll take them and teach them to work. You know, teaching them to work is part of it. You've got to teach your children to be citizens, so to speak. You got to teach them. That's right. Even when you get a can smashed on your bottom. That's all necessary. All of these things are necessary. You have to, you know what? There's also called tough love. That's when you cut them off. And you stick by your guns. And you make them straighten up. You make them straighten up because they won't get another mouthful of food anyway except that they work for it. That's tough love. That's hard at times. It really hurts you to do that. That's hard. All of this is in the Word of God. I'm telling you though. I'm just giving you a Reader's Digest.
A condensed version.
Condensed version of it there in a hurry. Love. All part of love. It says that having ascended into the hypsos, the heights, he led captivity. He captured. Now this word, ekmalotos, is an old word. It is only used a few times in history of Greek. It's used in the Septuagint. You put down LXX, that's an abbreviation for the Septuagint. Every time you see this in writings, that means that's the Septuagint. That's the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. All right? It was used there, and we can go back here and we can see this is what's used in this deal. It's only used in a few places in the New Testament. All right? Septuagint. And then he led captive, third person singular, first aorist, and dignity of active. Now, first aorist and second aorist, now we have a participle up here on a base above. That's having ascended. Now, it's second aorist, participle. What's second aorist mean? You remember? Just let me. Second is two, isn't it? All right. Aorist tense means punctiliar action. Point time action, something that happened in an instant. Second aorist means it happened in two instances. It's a little more drawn out, but it's still punctiliar. Punctiliar action. First aorist is extremely punctiliar. One time punctiliar. This took a little bit of time, but it was an act that took place at a time. All right? First aorist, second aorist. Just remember two dots and one dot. Two dots takes a little longer. All right? Having ascended up, he led captivity. First aorist, indicative active. Ekmalotou, that's what the word comes from. He led captivity, captivity. And that word and also is in parenthesis, but it's understood. There is actually a conjunction there. Do you see the comma there? All right. A comma in Greek is also a comma in English, by the way. See that? Isn't that nice? All right. I'll show you another little thing, though, while we're talking about punctuation. When you see that in Greek, what is that in English?
Semicolon.
All right. In Greek, it is a question mark. So every time you see that in Greek, that's a question mark. Not a semicolon is a question mark in Greek. But a comma is a comma, so don't worry about it. You learn something, you know something. All right? I'll just give you a little list at a time. Just salt and pepper this on you. And as you go over and you get exposed to a little more Greek all the time, you'll know it one of these days. You'll just up one day and know it. How many of you ever tried to memorize part in a play when you went to school? Huh? How did you do it, brother?
Dog hard study.
All right. Did you write it?
No.
All right. The only way I ever could memorize anything was to write it. Same way with you, brother. Dave. Write it out. And I'd write it out. And I'd write it out until my hand was falling off. I did a funeral last week. I said earlier today in the class, the reason why your head is tied onto your body is when you get older, you would forget it if it wasn't tied on. Well, anymore, I can't remember anything. And I wrote this funeral, I don't know how many times I wrote it, until my hand was falling off. Because I didn't want to goof on a thing, and I didn't have the memory that I have had in the past. So now I have to just really drive it hard in. I wrote it over and over and over again. Over and over again. That's the way you memorize things. Is you write it, or you go over and over it. And he gave. Edokin. This comes from Dinami now. Third person singular. First aorist, indicative active. What's first aorist? Punctiliar active. Real punctiliar. And he gave domata. Tois anthropois. Gifts to the men. Gifts to men. Now, if you want to... did I write down a whole lot of cross-references there?
Yeah.
All right. Colossians 2, 14 and 15, John 1, 14, John 1, 18, Psalm 16 and 10, Matthew 28.
Matthew 12, 29.
And John 3, 13, Hebrews 2, 8 and 9, Psalm 68 and verse 18, Acts 2, 31, Acts 13 and verse 35. These are some of these, just in case people want to tape them. Revelation 13, 10 and Acts 2, 31 are two other cross-references this to this also. Now, let's go to 4 in verse 9. 4 in verse 9. This is a little easier because not all of it's capitalized like the last one. Tol. Day. Anabe. Here's that same word again. Tith. Estin. A. May. Hoti. Kai. Katabe. Ace. Ta. Katotera. Mary. Taste. Gates. Mary, taste, gates. All right. Or how should we start this sentence now?
Well, my translation has this in a parenthesis.
All right. And yours also?
Yes.
Okay. And what does it say down there in the column? What does it say about it? In the old manuscripts, it wasn't there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Now, John 3:13, Isaiah 44 and verse 23, and Ephesians 6, 11 and 12, and Acts 2, 31, Revelation 5 and 3 and 13. These are all cross-references to this. See, a lot of times something gets into a book or Bible because they quoted something over here. Now, there was other comments over in other places, and as I cross-reference these things from the other books, we'll find out that they were put in there. Okay? Now let's go and look at this thing anyway. How should this verse start, though?
Now.
All right, now. All right, or moreover. It starts with a weak adversative conjunction, okay? The day. Day to anabe. Now look at that word to there, and anabe. Now, this to is what? Ho aristokon arthron. What is it? The definite article. All right, that's what it is, the definite article. That's what the toe is. And what is the toe describing? The one that ascended. All right? The one that ascended. Third person singular, second aorist, indicative active, ana and bino. The one and the one ascended. All right? Now this, just for emphasis, it points, that the points to Jesus and emphasizes him. Remember a long time ago when I was in the seminary, and that was forever ago, so long ago. Wonderful time in my life. Hard, hard time. Brother Ken got up and said the other day, it's the hardest thing he ever did. Going to seminary. Hardest work he's ever worked. Hardest. Learning and beating it into his head. It's hard work. Hard work. You cannot imagine how hard it is. This puts you almost in the grave. But you know what? It's a time of my life that I love. It excites you. Are just absolutely immersed in God's Word every day. And I spent 12 years in it because I couldn't leave it. I just couldn't believe it. I loved it. Well, I guess maybe it's rough. It shows, doesn't it? Just a little bit. I love God's Word. You know, we should love God because we should love God's Word because we love God. And God's Word is His instructions to us. Israel, when they went out in Egypt, it took hundreds and hundreds of years to get Egypt out of Israel. He had to bury a bunch of them out there in the wilderness. Then he flat killed them a couple of different times. They needed killing. Matter of fact, he killed a bunch of them two or three different times. He finally got them into the promised land, but they were still ungodly buzzards, weren't they? They just went astray every time they could turn around, and they kept wanting to worship idols. Finally, they carried off into Babylon and off into Syria. And then they started this synagogue business, you know, where there are so many people there, they could put a synagogue together, and this is where that they would study God's Word, and they would just worship the Bible. Just worship it. And today, if you go over into Israel, you'll see those Jews going up there, and they'll stand up there, and they'll go like this, and they'll just kiss the Bible. What they need to be doing is kissing God. That's what they need to do, is kiss God. Because when they were carried off into Babylon, they exchanged an idol, one idol for another. They quit worshiping idols, but then they turned the Word of God into an idol. We're not supposed to worship God's Word, but the God's Word is the way, the means for we learn to worship Him. All right? Gave gifts unto men. And then He ascended. What is it? Except. Now we have Ame there. See that word Ame? Now that is what you call a Greek idiom. Two words that don't mean anything. Those two words are combined and mean unless or except. And actually, A is the first class conditional in there. Since not is how it could be translated, or unless that also He descended, He went down. Where was Jesus in eternity past?
In heaven.
In heaven. He's there for a long time, wasn't he? For eternity past, that's how long He was there. He was in heaven. But in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, God promised mankind that I'll become one of you. I will come through the womb of a woman into the human race, and I will save you from your sins. And to do that, what did He have to do? He had to descend from heaven onto the earth. All right? Now, there are two interpretations of this verse. All right? We're going to look at them just a little bit. Did you have a question, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
Nope. All right. He ascended. Now, when He ascended, went up, first of all, He had to go down before He could go up. All right? Before He could come to earth, to heaven, He had to go down. Because also He descended into the katotera. And that comes from kato, a little, and that word kato is either an adverb or preposition. Now, anytime you see an omega on the end, see that kato there? Kappa, alpha, tau, omega? That word omega there, that's it.
This word, that letter, that is,
that omega. Anytime you see a word end with that, normally it is an adverb. Okay? But this one can be an adverb or a preposition. And it means down. All right? Down. And if this word down was an adverb, it would be downly. Downly. Literally. To understand in English, you'd have to, it would be downly. In other words, it's something that was done down. It's something, an action. All right? Now, if it is a preposition, it's a place down.
Could that come out ongoing?
Yeah. Ongoing. The L-Y, that's what makes an adverb in English, and it's a downly. Okay? So how far is earth from heaven? A long way. So He went downly for a long time, didn't He? Do you understand? The original language really draws out pictures of what's going on here. And then he said, Mary. Now we can say Mary. That sounds like a name, doesn't it? Mary. All right. Right here, it is it's accusative plural, and it actually is parts, lower parts. That comes from kato and pero, by the way, or peros. Parts of the gaze. Lower parts. That means districts. It means it's a part of the whole. Would the universe be the universe without the earth? Yeah. Not really. Because the universe is part of the earth, isn't it? The earth is part of the universe. It's a part of the whole. Okay? Of the earth. Now, Thayer says here, of Geist, he says, the parts of the universe, instead of so much Geist or gay as the earth, but really of the whole universe, the whole cosmos, the whole system. I have written down here at some time past, Christ came all the way from heaven to this earth to put on the work clothes of humanity. The work clothes of human flesh to triumph over sin and redeem us by us back to himself. Now, in the Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 29. Someone go to Matthew 12 and verse 29. Kalamathion. That's what it is in Greek. Kalamathion. Matthew 12 and verse 29. Terry, thank you for correcting me a while ago on that because I needed that crap. I don't see so well anymore. Have you got that, Brother Harold? All right.
How can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house.
All right. What in the world is this talking about? Jesus is telling people in a parabolic form, and a parable. What is a parable? It comes from para and balo. Parable. It is a parable means para, means beside, and balo means to throw beside. If you throw something physical besides something, you have something abstract that you're trying to teach, so you put something concrete so they can understand. Okay, now that's what a parable is. So it tells the story so they can understand something. They've accused him of doing miracles by the power of Satan. Okay? Now you say, that's pretty silly. If Satan be divided against himself, what's he going to do? If you cast out devils by Satan, what are you doing? You're beating up your own army. All right? You're tearing up your own house. You don't do that. Unless you did like I did when I was a little kid. I got a hatchet someplace and I went out and chopped down the porch one time and fell on my head. My grandpa went out there and said, come here, you do that. Took it away from me. He didn't do anything else. The porch almost killed me. He didn't have to whoop me or anything. I learned I didn't chop any more porches down. That was the last porch I ever chopped down in my life.
Did he chop a switch down with that axe?
No, he didn't do anything. He just says, let me have that. That's the last time I saw the hatchet. That was it. Okay, no more hatchet. No more chopping down porches either. All right. Lower parts of the earth. The universe. Yeah.
Joy just says you should never get an India.
He might turn into a tomahawk. All right, let's get back to the strong man. All right, Jesus said that you couldn't, if you're going to enter into a strong man's house and plunder his house, what did you have to do? You had to go disable him first. You had to go disable him first. Take his ammunition away from him. Take his tight handcuff him. Take care of him. Get him under control, huh, Harry?
That's right.
That's what you call it. Get him under control. Get him contained. Mm-hmm. Contain the fellow. Well, Jesus said that's why he came down this earth, is to get Satan under control. The first Adam that came to the earth, what happened to the first Adam? He had everything just perfect. Mm-hmm. He was out there. He had everything he wanted to eat. Had the most beautiful thing that ever could have walked on two legs to walk with him on the earth. The love of his life and paradise. Everything was beautiful and the garden was planted by God. I mean, my wife used to make gardens. I've got pictures of some of her gardens. They look like little storybooks almost. storybook gardens. And some of these, this is the way she made gardens. Well, God planted this garden. He planted this garden. And Adam had everything he needed, and he flopped. When you look in the mirror, you can see Adam every day. We all fail, don't we? We all flop. We do. We'll get into a little bit of that later, because it's going to tell us how not to flop so often. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to get into that real heavy pretty soon. But then the second Adam came down to earth, and when Jesus started his public ministry, what happened to him right off the bat?
He was tempted.
Well, he was tempted. But before he was tempted, what did he do? He was not in a paradise. He was out in the desert. Absolute desolate place. He was out in a complete desolation with nothing to eat and nothing to drink for how long?
40 days.
Kill most people. Well, then he was tempted. After he was weakened, he was tempted. And what? How did the old boy do? He just quoted Scripture, didn't he? And he lived it, and he became the strong man, didn't he? And he showed us, we can do it. You can do it. Jesus left us a roadmap how to do it. All right. Now, let's go on to 4 and verse 10. 4 and verse 10. Whole. Katabase. Altos. Estin. Kai. Ho. Anabas. Hiparano. Ponton. To. Uranon. Hina. Plerose. Ta. Ponta. All right now.
I've got to draw you some more pictures. I'm not a very good artist. I'll have Marilyn get up here at the totem and do all these drawings for me. But you'll have to just suffer with my inability to draw things. This is gay right here. What is gay? That's the earth. All right. That's the earth. All right. And the atmosphere around the earth is called Uranos, or Hashimayim. All right? Uranos is heaven. Now, the first heaven is... Yes, Brother Harry. Okay. The first heaven is where the birds fly, where all of our breathing is. Okay? That's for the atmosphere. The second heaven is what? And this is a big place, the second heaven is, I'm going to tell you. That's where the stars are. And the moon and the sun and all of those things out there. And all of the galaxies. And then the third heaven is where God is. That's the abode of God. The abode of God to you. All right? The abode of God. Now, that's what it's talking about here. We're talking, Jesus came all the way from the abode of God, from the highest heaven, all right, down to the earth. He condescended. There's a term, it's called a term, anthropomorphous, I think is the term. That's a theological term, and what it means that God came down to human realm so he could understand him. In other words, he condescended to become a man like us, related to us, so he could redeem us, and so we could understand who God was. Now, John 1:1 says, in the absolute eternity past, it's not plural, it's not like Bereshit in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, not in beginnings, but in beginning. In one of the beginnings, God created the heaven and the earth. But he did a whole lot of creating and a whole lot of things before he ever created the heavens and the earth. In one of the beginnings, in Genesis 1 and 1, in one of the beginnings, God created the heavens and the earth. And heavens, there's at least three of them. There's singular, dual, and plural, and this is plural. Alright? So there's at least three heavens. How many heavens do the Jews recognize? Come on, somebody knows.
One.
Huh? How many? Seven. Seventh heaven. Have you ever heard of the old movie called Seventh Heaven? Alright. That's where it comes from, is a Jewish tradition. Alright, we need you up here on the front row so you keep an eye on me. Alright.
That's where the seventh heaven came from?
That's where the seventh heaven idea came from, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do you need to close that?
Oh, no.
No, it works.
With it up. That's just an extra feature. Alright. Colossians 2 and 9, John 1 and 14 and 18. In all these things tell us that God became flesh. John 1:14. The word Jehovah is He who shall become. Jesus fulfilled the Jehovah titles. Not all of them are fulfilled yet, are they? Because He's coming back on a white horse as a warrior. He is going to be our Jehovah, our warrior, one of these days. Yes, Mother?
The seventh heaven in Hebrews, is it explained?
No. That is in Hebrew literature and in Hebrew, that's the books written by the Hebrew rabbis. Okay? And they talk about seven heavens. All right? They talk about seven archangels, too. There's different things that. And I've tried to expose you to a little bit of that, so not just the Bible, but other literature. Okay? Get back where we were going. The abode of God. God came down. He came from eternity. God mustered into human flesh. He became mankind. He became one of mankind so He could redeem us. God became flesh. The Jehovah title, He who shall become, John 1:14, is the absolute fulfillment of that. And the Word, it says, Kai hologos sarx agenito. And the Word, flesh, He became. Now, the word Jehovah, the root form of that is Hagah in Hebrew. And it's genemai, or agenito in Greek. And it means to become. It says in John 1:14, Kai is and ho, the, that's the definite article, and the Word. Now, the word there was not the Greek idiom, but the Hebrew idea of the Hebrew name that could not be spoken, the Hebrew name Jehovah. And the Word, and the Jehovah, flesh, sarx, agenito. He became, third person singular, aorist, indicative, middle voice. God did it for Himself. He came in the human flesh. All right. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. God comes down, He puts on the working clothes of human flesh to redeem us. Where Adam failed, He overcame. Kai. Altos. Udokin. Tois. Or Tois. Tous, that is. Man. Apostolus. Tous. Day. Prophetes. Tous. Day. Ugala. You almost said it in Greek. In English. Euangelistos. Euangelistos. Tous. Day. Poimenos. Kai. Devaskalus. I could spend a whole hour teaching you on this verse. I wrote probably a 75,000 word master's thesis on this. It was long enough to be a doctor's thesis. You have that, I think, Brother David, don't you? The one the Nair called? Called the Nair called?
Yes,
all right.
And I go through all of the gifts, and I go from the Hebrew and the Greek and put it together. And that little book's been all over the world, too, because it was the only one written about that subject, I guess, that I've ever run into. Well, and we're going to...
That's the one the Prestons were telling you.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, my master's thesis, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, they said they had my doctor's thesis.
Yeah.
That's the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the book of Revelation also. Well, these are the gifts. We heard about the gifts earlier, that God gave gifts unto man. And right here, God is naming the gifts through His apostle. Through His apostle, Paul. All right. Now let's go look at this. And he, autos, is he. That's third person singular, nominative singular masculine, third person pronoun is what it is. Boy, that's a mouthful, isn't it? It's an autos. Nominative singular masculine. It's nominative singular and masculine because of the omicron sigma on the end of it. The autos. That's a third personal pronoun. It's nominative singular masculine. Alright? And it's third person pronoun. And he gave freely, edokin, and see that word is partially capitalized again, because it's a quotation. And then it's tous, that's accusative plural. And then man is a particle of affirmation, by the way, indeed. Now if you want to put this together, and it's an idiom, tous and man is some apostles. What was the first gift given to the church? It names it. Apostles. The first gift given to the church was apostles. All right? Apostolos. I'm not sure that the church made the right, correct thing to do when they chose Matthias. Remember that when they substituted Judas? Or Judah? Actually, his name was Judah, not Judas, but Judah. But when he goofed up, they chose him another one. Well, God chose him another one, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have to do it. He did it. Who was the person that he replaced Judah with?
Paul.
All right. Apostolos. Now, what does this word apostolos, what Greek words, is the compound word, where does it come from? Apo and stelo. Apo is what? That's from. All right, preposition. And stelo, that's a verb. That means I send from, or I send out. And it's not only to send out, but send out with great authority. Apostle is someone sent out with authority. God knew who He wanted to be His apostles, and those are the only ones that ever were. There never were any more apostles. When they died, apostleships died with them. Okay? That was it. He chose 12 apostles. One of them flopped. He replaced him. And that's the only apostles that we have ever had. The Mormons say that they have living apostles today. The Catholic Church, their apostle is sitting on the throne in the Vatican. But there are no legitimate apostles in the world today. Period. Apostles were the ones sent out by authority, and these people lived in the early church age. And by the way, the apostles are the ones that wrote down most of the Bible that we have. It's going to come there. Well, in Corinthians, it also says, all is in part. We all see through a glass darkly until that which is perfect is revealed to us. You know what that which is perfect is? It's what you've got in your hand.
Oh.
It's your Bible. How do you know how to follow God? We have the Bible. You have the written instructions. You've got the instruction manual right there in front of you. You've got it. You've got the real thing. You have got the Word of God. Man, I mean, in the Old Testament, they kissed that Bible. They kissed those Scriptures. They revered those Scriptures. I wish God's people revered them just a little bit more, because when He tells you not to do this or to do that and you're going to have problems, we just go on and do what we're going to do. When we have plain injunctions from God's Word, this is wrong and this is right. If you do that which is wrong, there is consequences to it. If you do that which is right, You don't, at least you did the right thing. At least you did the right thing. Apostles. That definite article is accusative, plural, and masculine, by the way, apostles. There weren't any female apostles. That's accusative, plural, masculine. All right? And then prophetos. And that word tous up there is describing them. We have a first, second, and third declension nouns in Greek. We're crossing from the second declension thus, definite articles, over into the third declension prophetes. All right? That's why it's ending. The endings is a little bit different. All right? A prophet. Now, what is a prophet? It comes from two Greek words. It means to speak and to speak before. Prophetia. Prophetia. To speak before. It means to say something before it happens. There are no prophets in the world today. Not real prophets. Now, as I get up here and I speak God's word, I'm a prophet, all right. I'm prophesying what God says. But the only thing I can tell you is what God has already said in His word. I can explain it to you. I can go back to the original language. I can give you all the color. I can give you all the action. I can tell you where everything goes and goes comes from and goes to. And in that way, I'm a prophet. I'm prophesying. I'm saying, telling forth. But I cannot predict anything. I can predict one thing. If you sin, it's going to cause you trouble. If you know to do right and you do it and you don't do it, you're going to hang yourself. It's going to be to your detriment. God doesn't tell you don't do this for any reason. It's for a reason. It's for your good. Well, the Word says that all the way from the book of Genesis all the way through Revelation. It tells you what sin is and then tells you the consequences of sin. It tells you to be obedient to God. And it tells you what disobedience is going to cost you, doesn't it? Prophetos. He gave prophets. We don't have any more prophets today. We can prophesy God's word, we can speak it forth, but we are not prophets. The prophets are all gone. And then evangelists. Evangelistos. We have evangelists today, don't we? But we don't have gifted evangelists. That just stand up and start speaking, and they didn't study for it. I went to the seminary for about 12 years. And I studied to get into my head what I have in there. And into my heart, what's in that. It took a long time. God called me to preach. He let me know that I was going to preach. But then I had to work hard to learn what to say. Have you ever heard a preacher get up for 2 hours and say nothing?
Yep.
Well, there's a whole lot of them telling God's telling them to say that. God's not telling me to do anything. I have His Word, and I study that Word, and I pray for you to help my mind recall what I have studied. I sure need that today. I guarantee you I need it. I never needed it before in my life like I need it today. It leaks. My brain leaks. I used to have one. Now that I don't, I miss it. And I need your prayers. But you know what? I know where the information is. I have to get the information from there and keep it there long enough to get it to come out of my mouth. Well, every sermon I preach, I try to preach salvation in every message I've ever preached. I try to tell you how to be saved. That's evangelism. Evangelism tells people how to be saved. It also tells people how that they are saved. That you no longer belong to yourself. You are a God's possession. And then some shepherds. And we're going to get into that. We're going to go into this verse a little bit more next week. I could not cover all of this one, so we're going to start here next week. Is this the 11th?
Yes, sir.
It's 11th. All right. Tomorrow's my sister's birthday. She's getting old.